Hey, good morning, and welcome to Coffee and Prayer. I'm Pastor Andrew F. Carter, and it is 5:30 a.m. here in Inglewood, California. As you guys are tuning in and getting yourselves settled, please let me know where you are and what time it is where you guys are tuning in. What is up? What is up? Good morning. So check it out. Today we are jumping into Numbers chapter 16 as well as Luke chapter 24. It's pinned at the top. I am humbled and absolutely honored that you guys take time out of your day to spend with me as we navigate through the scriptures with the sole intention, like the sole purpose, is just to know Jesus better. To have a better, deeper, wider understanding of his love, the depths of his love, the depths of his forgiveness, so that we get back to this place of understanding the fullness of our identity and who it is that he says that we are. I believe that many Christians are operating at only a fraction of the fullness of who God has called them to be. Many of us, struggle with our worth, we struggle with our value, we struggle with our identity, and really don't know the authority that we have because of what Jesus did. It's not because of anything that we've done, it's not because of anything we deserve, it's solely and only because of the accomplishment of Jesus Christ. And the beauty is that today we get the chance to read about the resurrection and the impartation of power that Jesus gave to those who put their faith in him in Luke chapter 24. And we'll have an opportunity to give those of you who don't know Jesus as the Lord of your life and the Savior of your soul, we'll give you an opportunity this morning to receive Jesus, to receive the Holy Spirit. And for those of you who would like to rededicate your life, maybe you're back to Coffee and Prayer, maybe you found us again, you might have taken a break, maybe you've been nervous or you haven't made that jump. Today is the day. You guys, today is the day. It is no coincidence that you're here on today. It is no coincidence that you are under the sound of my voice, even on the replay. I love nothing more than to come back to the comment section later in the day and somebody just watching the replay. I'm over here playing Candy Crush or taking a nap and people are watching this video and receiving Jesus. It's an evergreen opportunity for people to receive him days, months, potentially years down the road as they stumble upon these videos. So that is a blessing, and that is something that I do not take lightly. So I'm excited to jump into that. So this morning we're gonna pray, and can we just talk about Numbers for a moment before we get into it? Numbers is good, man. We had a rocky start, but it is getting good. It's like every couple of chapters we'll have a chapter that's kind of like meh, doesn't really say much, but just the rebellion against God and against God's chosen ones, the grumbling, the complaining, the hardness of heart, the lack of belief, the lack of trust, the lack of faith. For followers of Jesus on this side of the cross, it's easy to read these stories and wag our fingers at those who would turn their backs on God. But it's a reminder that, boy, is it quick to forget what God has done and to resort to grumbling and complaining. We are so quick to do so. And even reading it, I feel convicted. There's just a sense of conviction. Not that I've like turned my back on God, but just the moments where things don't meet my expectations or go my way, how quick I am to forget about the miracles that God has done in my life, or I'm so quick to forget the answered prayers, or I'm so quick to get discouraged and maybe think that God no longer loves me or cares about me when it couldn't be further from the truth. Yeah, it's so good, so, so good. So, let's pray, and then we're going to jump into, Numbers chapter 16. So, Father God, you are holy and righteous, God. You are pure. God, there is none like you. There's no name like the name of Jesus, and this morning we call upon it, knowing that every individual is here for a specific reason. God, your Holy Spirit is always with us. We here are the church. So collectively, the church is gathering here, and we are asking that you would lead us, that you would teach us, that you would correct us, that you would convict us, that your word would go deep into our innermost being and start to regenerate, and it would start to expose or reveal areas that we need to work on. Because Lord, each one of us, though we are new creations, each one of us have these fleshly tendencies that might lead us astray or take our eyes off of you. So God, reveal those so that we can address those issues, so they're no longer a thorn in our side, or they're no longer a hindrance to us walking in the fullness of our salvation. We are so grateful for your word and for your scripture. We just pray that you would give us eyes to see, that you would reveal to us what it is that you would have us see this morning, that you would give us ears to hear. So in order to hear, many times we have to quiet ourselves. So Lord, take the desire or the need for us to be heard or seen, and help us to set that aside as we enter this place with truly the intention to hear your voice. It says, ask and we will receive, Lord. So we ask to hear your voice. It says, knock and the door will open. So Lord, we're here knocking. And as you open, we want to hear you. The word says to seek and we will find. Lord, we are seeking your voice, and we want to find that. We want to hear what it is that you have to say. And many times that's done in the silence, or many times it's done in the absence of our own words. So help us to listen twice as much as we speak this morning. And the words that we speak, I pray that they are encouraging, edifying, or uplifting. And if they don't fit in that category, Lord, help us to hold them, to pray about those things. And then with the permission of the Holy Spirit, then and only then shall we say those things, God. So Lord, have your way in this place and prepare us for what it is that you want us to see. And we pray this all in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. I feel this heavy burden that many times we come in with this expectation of being heard, or there's something that we need to say. But I'm really feeling in the spirit that not everything needs to be said, because sometimes the things that are said are meant to detour, discourage, or distract. And we don't want to take away from the time that we're here spending with God. I shared this at our men's group yesterday. I said, hey, before we share, because what I want to avoid is, you know, when people get an opportunity to speak, they do what I like to call, this is extremely inappropriate, but you're gonna not like me for a reason anyway. It's called diarrhea of the mouth. You hand people a microphone, and it's crazy how quick people become public speakers. You know, somebody's like, oh no, I don't really like to talk in front of people, but you hand them the mic and they're like, well, actually, now that I have the microphone, so on Monday this happened, and then Tuesday I was really going through this, but you know, then they start navigating like their childhood trauma. Well, when I was 3, and it's like, dude, all we're doing is just giving our name and where we live. Like, you know, immediately those who don't speak, all of a sudden, you know, they get that microphone and boy, do they like to run with it. And not that that's a bad thing, but there's a place and a time for that. So one of the guidelines that I said is like, hey, if you're going to share, first off, we're going to try to keep it under 2 minutes. We'll let the Spirit lead, but you know, if it's not encouraging, edifying, or pointing back to Jesus, then let's not go there, right? This isn't a counseling session. I didn't have you pull up the couch so you can just kind of bleed on the 30 guys who are here trying to get a word. So there's a time and a place for that, but it's not always where you're at. So some of the things that you might want to share or say or you know, argue about, there's a time and a place, and this might not be it. So be respectful in the comment section. And I'm preaching to the choir. You guys are never disrespectful or distracting. That's just some common housekeeping that we've got to do every so often. For the most part, you guys are well-behaved and extremely loving and encouraging. Prayer requests, encouragement. People are checking in on each other. I love to see it. I love to be distracted by love, right? It's cool to be distracted by that. It's not cool to be distracted by, like, you know, stuff that's negative. So I love you guys. So good. Philip says 2 minutes ain't enough for some of our brothers. Amen. Amen. And that's when they need to, you know, talk to a counselor where they can pull up a couch and they can pay somebody to listen to all of that. Some of you are like, you're a pastor. That's what you get paid to do. I don't get paid to be a pastor. This is a choice. I get paid to write books and I get paid to do social media content. I do not get paid as a pastor. I appreciate that. I get paid. Some of you guys pay money for this, memberships, and I appreciate every dime and every dollar. But yeah, I'm not on a salary. I do it because I love it. Which leads me to Numbers chapter 16. How cool is this? In chapter 15, it was one of those chapters where we hear about the grain and the drink offerings, the law concerning unintentional sin, presumptuous sin. We were kind of like, don't really got a whole lot from there. But for chapter 16, you guys, it says there was rebellion against Moses and Aaron. So Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, with Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On the son of Peloth, sons of Reuben, they took men and they rose up before Moses with some of the children of Israel, 250 leaders, right? They gathered 250 dudes of the congregation, representatives of the congregation, men of renown. They took some of the shakers and the movers. It was like the Chamber of Commerce. They got all these people together, right? They bring them in. They gathered together against Moses and Aaron. And here's their complaint. They're saying, you take too much upon yourselves. For all the congregation is holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Why then do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of the Lord? Hold on, I'm gonna close this window. I did not close it, so I hear cars and garages opening. That's a little better. And so Moses hears this. He's just like, so people are like, they're like, why do you think that you're better than everybody, Moses? Aaron, why do you guys think that you're better than everybody? And remember, like, Moses was humble. He wasn't lording it over individuals. Moses legit was like chosen by God. He was the only one who had face-to-face convos. Like, God was coming and talking to Moses and it was an audible voice. Even the Lord said, I speak to the prophets in dreams and visions and signs and wonders. He's like, but Moses, I talk to Moses like that's my boy. And so here, you know, they're probably upset because things aren't going their way. So they're accusing Moses. Why do you exalt yourself above everybody else? And so Moses hears this and falls on his face. And he's just like, look, okay, tomorrow morning, the Lord will show who is and who is holy, who is his and who's holy. And he's going to cause him to come near. And the one that he chooses will cause him to come near. And then Moses says to Korah, he goes, here now, like, is it a small thing that you guys have been set aside? Do you think that it's like, you know, you and all your company are gathered together against the Lord? Do you think that it's a small thing that I'm doing? Do you guys think that it's a small privilege that you guys are here in this place? And so Moses is just like, hey, he calls for some backup. He calls Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, but they said, we're not going to come up. Is it a small thing that, like, they're going back and forth. Is it a small thing that you brought us out of a land flowing with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, that you should keep acting like a prince over us? Moreover, you have not brought us into a land flowing with milk and honey, nor given us inheritance of fields and vineyards. Will you put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up. So they're just like, You've got beef with them. We're not going to come back you up. You've put yourself over us. You've led us out of Egypt, which was flowing with milk and honey. Now you've got us out here in the wilderness. You haven't done what you said you were going to do. We're still struggling. Our expectations haven't been met. You know, we liked it better when we were in bondage in Egypt. In verse 15, Moses is angry and he says to the Lord, don't respect their offering. I have not taken one donkey from them, nor have I hurt one of them. And so, you know, Moses says to Korah, tomorrow, you and all your company be present, right? Each of you take your censer, put incense in it, and bring it before the Lord. 250 censers, both you and Aaron, each with his censer. So every man took his censer, put fire on it, laid incense on it, and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the glory of the Lord appeared on the congregation. Whoo, come on now, this is crazy. And then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron. He said, he looks at him, he goes, separate yourselves. Get away from them, because I'm about to consume them in a moment, right? So the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to the congregation saying, get away from the tents of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And Moses rose and he went and told him, and he said, hey, if you got get away from their tents. And so Moses said, by this you shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all of these works, for I have not done them of my own will. And you're going to understand, you will understand that these men have rejected the Lord. And so it came to pass, as soon as he was done, the ground split apart, opens up, and consumes all of them. Them with their households and all the men with Korah with all their goods. So they and all those with them went down alive into the pit. The earth closed over them and they perished from among the assembly. And then all Israel who were around them, they fled, and they could hear them crying and screaming. And they thought that they would too be swallowed up by the earth. And so then a fire came out from the Lord and consumed the 250 men who were offering incense. Those with the bronze censers that were there, like challenging Moses and Aaron, they were consumed by fire. And all that was left, right, was just like the remnant of these bronze censers. The censers were holy. And it says, so Moses said, go grab them. And Eleazar the priest took the bronze censers, which those who were burned up had presented, and they were hammered out as a covering on the altar to be a memorial to the children of Israel. So it's like you get this picture of all of these people. They were complaining against Moses and Aaron. They were talking about how they were exalting themselves. They were lording it over them. They thought they were just as good, not realizing that Moses had been called and set apart. He was called to this position. It wasn't a position that he had put himself in. There was probably jealousy, discontentment. There was individuals who were looking at them who were in a position of power, and they were rebelling against them. And the Lord said, okay, we're gonna settle this now here once and for all. And so he swallows up those who refuse to come to Moses' side, because by rejecting Moses, who was appointed and put in this position, they were rejecting the Lord. It wasn't rebellion against Moses, it was rebellion against God, because Moses had been appointed and called to that position. And so, you know, God kind of made an example out of them, burned them all up. And so this is what's crazy is verse 41, on the next day, all the congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. They were still upset, like, you have killed the people of the Lord, right? They were blaming Moses and Aaron for what happened to all of these men who rose up, because they were fathers and sons and brothers. And again, they were men of renown. They were in places of positions of power, and they were swallowed up. Like, imagine, lives were changed in this moment, over 250 men. And so the congregation gathered against Moses and Aaron, and they turned toward the tabernacle of meeting, and suddenly a cloud covered it. And the glory of the Lord appeared, and Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, get away from this congregation, so I'm going to consume them, right? Even them, like, get away from them. Because here they are, even in the face of what I did, showing that you were chosen, set aside, that you've been appointed, that you are the man of God that I've called you to be. Even in the face of that, the congregation still grumbles. They're still gossiping. They're still complaining. They're still rebelling against you, and therefore rebelling against me. And so they fell on their faces again. Here's, you know, Moses said to Aaron, take a censer, put it in the fire from the altar. Like, Moses is trying to save these people. Even as they're rebelling, gossiping, and they're coming against them, they're standing against Moses and Aaron. Moses is like, go and light a censer and make an atonement for the people. And so Aaron runs off. He stands between the dead and the living, and this plague goes out. And even as soon as he walks into the crowd, people are like falling dead from this plague. And you know, Aaron goes, he makes an atonement for the people, and those who died in the plague were 14,700. And that was besides those who had died in the Korah incident. So Aaron returned to Moses at the door of the tabernacle of the meeting, and the plague was stopped. So talk about high drama. What really stood out to me was this, and it's kind of just in a one little sentence, right? this is good. A lot of you guys are saying, prideful people, God does not like pride. I love that. Rebellion is another form of unbelief, but this is what it is. When you're in alignment with God and what God is doing, you don't have to worry about gossip. You don't have to worry about rebellion. You don't have to worry about people hating on you. You don't got to worry about your haters. God's going to take care of it. What we need to do is focus on being obedient and keeping our eyes on God. Again, I said, when you're in alignment, now there's a difference between people coming to you when you aren't in alignment with God, when you're being disobedient, when you're not following the plan, purpose, and will that God made for you, when you're operating out of a sense of pride, if you're operating out of a sense of selfishness, then yes, people need to make a stand and, you know, you need to be accountable. But when what you're doing, because we see Moses wasn't lording it over, he wasn't being prideful, he wasn't doing those things. He was in a position and he was put there by God. And he didn't need to worry about the gossip or the rebellion or people coming against him. God took care of it. So when you're in alignment, right? So it's just confirmation that stay in alignment with God, stay humble. Put people in positions who can speak into your life and hold you accountable. If I know in my heart that I am in alignment with what God's doing and I'm heading in a direction, the weapons are going to form, but they're not going to prosper, right? The things that are meant for evil to divide and to distract and to tear down, and when people are coming against your character or they have things to say about you behind your back, you don't have to worry about that. God's going to take care of it. He's going to take care of his appointed ones. He's going to take care of his anointed ones. He's going to take care of the ones who he puts in positions of power. As long as you stay in alignment and you remain obedient and humble, God's going to take care of it. Amen. Like that's so many of us, we get worried about, well, so-and-so's saying this, or they're saying that, or they're speaking this, or they're saying that. Don't worry about it. Be praying for that individual, in fact, because woe to him who comes against God's anointed and appointed ones. Look at the penalty. When God has you in a place and people decide to rise up and to gossip and to talk poorly, there is repercussions for those, because it's not just them rejecting you, they're rejecting God, because God has you in that place. You are protected. God is overseeing you. He is watching you. He is making sure that you're okay. So many times we get distracted by haters. We get distracted by negative comments. We get distracted by people trying to speak into your life who aren't submitted to God. You guys know how many people try to speak into my life about what we're doing and about ministry who aren't in a position of, they're not in a position where I'm submitted to them. I don't know them from Adam. I don't know who they are or what their relationship is with God, but they will have a word for me, or God will speak something to them. And it's not to denigrate or take away from them, but I don't know them and I don't know their relationship. I have overseers and people who are in positions of accountability in my life, and I'm able to see their relationship with God. And so when people have a lot of things that they want to share with me, or they try to correct me, and it's like, I receive it, I respect you, but I don't receive it. You can't just allow anybody to speak into your life, especially if you don't know their relationship with God. Many people who are well-meaning, they might mean well and they might not mean evil or wickedness, but sometimes they will speak into your life without, you know, knowing that they are essentially speaking from their flesh, or speaking from a bias, or speaking from a place of hurt, or speaking from a place of trauma, trying to project what they're going through onto you. There are people who have permission. You must receive permission, meaning that I respect where you're from. God has revealed to me that they are submitted to that, that they're submitted to God, and now they have the authority to speak into my life. I've never met a prophet in the comment section, right? I've never really received anything of great value in a DM, right? First off, if somebody's DMing you correction or DMing you, something that God revealed to them about you, I question that because they don't have access. That means that they don't have access. That means that you have to take what they have to say with a grain of salt, right? There's a lot of Instagram prophets or Instagram messengers of God, you know. Unfortunately, I've been instructed and trained not to receive that and to take those things with a grain of salt. You know what I mean? There's a lot of people with trauma. There's a lot of people with hurt. There's a lot of people who have their toes stepped on or their feathers easily ruffled, and they will project their issues, insecurities, and hurt onto you, and they will dress it up as a message from God. Well, God spoke this to me. And it's like, okay, a God probably spoke it to you, but not my God. You know what I mean? Well, the Spirit led me. Okay, a Spirit led you, not the Holy Spirit led you, because you're speaking out of a place of hurt or trauma or distraction. So I can't receive every word that comes knocking on my door, because some words are meant to deceive, distract, or take you off the course that God has you set on. But I share all of that because my focus isn't to please man, right? Galatians 1:10 says, let me just read it actually, rather than me paraphrase it, because it's so powerful. Galatians 1:10 is probably my second favorite verse, and it's been life-changing for me. Galatians 1:10 says, "For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." It's this reminder is that I'm here on Coffee and Prayer, not for applause, not for you to like me, not for you to pat me on the back, not for you to celebrate me. I'm doing this because this is what God called me to do. So as cool as it is, and it's nice to have community and to show up every day, God called me to do this every single day, and to show up consistently and to be disciplined 334 days in a row. I'm not doing it because you guys want me to. There's gonna be a day and a time when God says your assignment with this is over, and I'm not gonna do it anymore, because I'm gonna be obedient to God, because we're gonna move into a new season. Now, many people are gonna be hurt, they're gonna be upset, they're gonna be discouraged, they're gonna be disappointed, they're gonna be sad, but they're not gonna understand that God's calling on my life was not a conference call. They're gonna be upset that this is no longer going on, but I understand that I'm not here to please men. Imagine God saying Coffee and Prayer is done, the assignment's over, but I keep going because I want people to like me. Now I'm in a place where I wasn't called to be, and now the repercussion is on my life and my calling. I'm disobedient and not obeying what God is instructing me to do, but I'm doing it anyways because I want people to like me or to feel good or because it adds value. So now I'm out of alignment with what God's called me to do. Even ministry, you can overstay your welcome. You can be in a place longer than God's called you to be because you don't want to disappoint other people. But again, you have to remind yourself, God's calling is between me and God. And when you stay in alignment with the Holy Spirit and you are actually listening and not just talking, you start to see that He's going to take you to places. There's a season for everything. There was a season to start this. There will be a season to end. And I'm not saying that it's going to end anytime soon. So everybody take a deep breath and calm down. You might have just got here and you're just like, it's already ending. Relax. That's not what I'm saying. But there will be a day and a time, and I believe that's after we make it through the entirety of the scripture. That's what I have on my heart. God said that we will make it through the entire Bible, and then it may be time to do something else. I don't know what that looks like. Maybe we go through it backwards. I don't know. But I have to be obedient and stay in alignment. And as I do so, as I stay in alignment with God, and I'm more concerned with being obedient to the Holy Spirit, people are going to have things to say. He's going to take care of them, right? People are going to try to gossip or say things or try to discredit or disqualify me. I can't focus on the opinions of others because all that does is distract. I have to trust and know that God will take care of those who rise up against those who are in positions that He's put them in. It's natural. It's natural for people to not like you. It's natural for people to try to find fault. It's natural for people to try to disqualify or to discredit. And I know that it's hard for you guys to believe that there's people who don't like me, right? Because you guys all love me and you're here. But really, it's a matter of me saying one thing that you don't agree with. Ministry is very fickle and can be challenging. The moment that I say one thing that you might not like, we could be spending 333 days together of blessing and encouragement. You just love it. And I could come on here and say something controversial tomorrow, and you would lose love and turn your back on me so quick. But that's ministry. That's what it is. And I understand that our alignment, our assignment, and our connectedness really lies within me sharing what touches your spirit. The moment that you stop hearing God from me, you're gone and you're on to the next internet preacher. And that's the reality of it. Some of you guys are like, Peter, Andrew, I'd rock with you through thick and thin. You wait and see till November till I say something you don't like. You're out of here. I'm pulling my membership. I'm not going to listen to no more coffee and prayer. It's so quick, right? It's so quick. Everybody, that's a word right there. Jimmy B says, media has everyone offended so easily in giving up. We could be rocking together, speaking life. And I've had people do this. I've baptized people, spoke life into them. And the moment that I didn't respond to their messages the way that they wanted me to respond, I was the mud of the earth, man. I was discarded and left. My ministry was walked away from because I didn't answer a message according to their expectations. That's how quick it is. After I baptized them, spoke life into them, laid hands on them, prayed on them, prayed for their friends over the phone. Like after I poured into their life, I didn't handle a situation the way they wanted and they were deuces on me. So it's like, that's ministry. I can't be consumed by those things. And I only use it as it was, God spoke to me in that situation and it just opened my eyes to what it is that we're doing here. It just reminds me, because as you guys enter into ministry, as you guys enter into ministry, and ministry is just serving, you're just serving people, you're loving people. Remind yourself that you aren't God. You are fallible. You will make mistakes. You will mess up. You will step on toes. You will ruffle feathers. You might say something out of your own flesh or out of your own bias. You better believe that there's days on here I've had to repent where I've spoke out of my own flesh or my own biases. And I've had to get on here and eat crow and be like, you know what? I shouldn't have said that. I responded poorly to a comment. I was sarcastic or I was rude or abrasive. If your guys' hope is in me that I'm going to be like the, you know, if I could just talk to you for one moment, you better talk to God. I will let you down. I am a man. I am a human being. But we can take solace as people who are in positions of power and in ministry. Ministry is just serving. As we serve other people, we don't need to take up a lot of time, energy, and space worrying about people gossiping, trying to disqualify, trying to discredit us. If we focus our eyes on Jesus, we stay obedient and work on staying in alignment with the Holy Spirit, all of that other stuff will be taken care of. Be praying for those who rise up against you and choose to gossip about you, because there is discipline and there is correction that comes for those. Clearly, we see it happens with Moses. Those who started trying to disqualify or discredit Moses were swallowed up by the earth. Now, I don't think that that's gonna happen in 2022, where like, you know, your haters are gonna get swallowed. I know some of you guys are like, oh Lord, please swallow them up. Please open the earth and swallow them up in their home. I don't think that it's like that, but you know, you never know. But God will definitely take care of you and protect you. You no need to lose sleep over that. Amen. So good. I love it. God is good. Let's move into Luke. Today is a special day because we are closing the gospel according to Luke. So powerful. So, guys, the gospel is good news. And it's built on kind of this premise. You guys, you are born a sinner and your sin separates you from God. And there must be a penalty, there must be a payment for the sin debt that you've racked up with your life. And God wants blood, right? Blood satisfies. And we are reading in the Old Testament of the offerings and the sacrifices, the intricacies and the detail of each sacrifice or act of atonement that had to happen in order for the forgiveness of sins. But it wasn't a once and for all situation. They would have to go back annually and perform these rituals, and they would have to do these rites, and they would have to go through this pageantry in order to have their sins forgiven. And then there were also other things that had to take place throughout the year, and there were feasts, and there were all of these things that took place in order to keep your right standing with God, and it was near impossible. It was basically impossible to do so. And so because that sin separated us from God, we needed a savior. So God clothed himself in flesh and came to this world as Jesus and lived perfectly, unblemished, without failure, without mistake. He experienced every temptation known to man, yet overcame them victoriously. His life and his ministry, his 3 years of ministry, was detailed in the Gospels, according to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And in the Gospels, Jesus left a blueprint on how we are to live, how we are to serve, how we are to pray, how we are to interact, how we are to live our lives. And he did so by leading by example. He showed us the way. And so what we see in chapter 24, the final chapter in the Gospel according to Luke, is in the previous chapter, he was falsely accused, beaten, crucified, and died. But in chapter 24, he's no longer in that tomb, you guys. He is risen. He is risen. He was no longer there. Jesus was resurrected. And this resurrection power that Jesus contains, right? He defeated sin. He defeated death and the power that death and sin have over us. And now as we put our faith in Jesus and choose to follow him, we allow him and invite him to be the Lord of our life and the Savior of our soul. We receive the Holy Spirit, the promise that God gave. We receive this Holy Spirit and now become a dwelling place for the Holy Spirit, and the power that is in us, the Holy Spirit, is greater than the power in this world. We now have the power over sin. We are a new creation. We have been chosen and set aside. We have a deeper, better understanding of the scripture. As we read the scripture through the lens of the Holy Spirit, things are revealed to us. We have a divine understanding. We have a divine wisdom. We have divine knowledge. We have been let into this, I don't want to call it an exclusive club, but in order to be in this club, there's a couple of things. You have to believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody goes to the Father except for through him. You have to believe in his death, burial, and resurrection. You have to believe in the Trinity. You have to believe that he was born of a virgin. There's some key things, some primary issues that you have to believe. But in Luke chapter 24, it shares that the first day of the week, the women who were with Jesus, they go to the tomb, bringing the spices that they had prepared the day before. And they found that the stone was rolled away. There was nobody in there. And as they were there, they were looking, and there were two men who stood by in shining garments. And then as they were afraid, they bowed their faces. They were like, what is this? Who are these guys? And he says, he is not here, but is risen. And they say, remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee? Jesus multiple times not only predicted, but foreshadowed and tried to let the disciples know, this is what's happening. When I go to Jerusalem, I'm going to be betrayed. I'm going to be beaten. I'm going to go to my death. I'm going to suffer. But it's all a part of God's plan. And so he's even telling them, remember how he spoke to you, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered in the hands of sinful man and be crucified, and on the third day rise again? And in verse 8, they remembered his words. And they ran from that place. They ran back to the 11, right? There used to be 12. Judas had betrayed Jesus. And so they run back. And they're trying to tell them, they're explaining to them, we went back to the tomb, there were two dudes in there shining, you know, bright, they were angels, they let us know that Jesus is risen. And it says that their words seemed like idle tales, and they didn't believe them. But Peter, right, Peter jumped up, he ran to the tomb, stoops down, sees the grave clothes lying there in the tomb, and he departs, marveling at himself of what happened. And so then we hear the story that two of the 12, there was two of them. What were their names? It says one of them was called, they were headed on the road to Emmaus, and they talked together. One of them's name was Cleopas. And so as they're walking, they're having a conversation about what happened, and Jesus drew near to them. But they didn't know that it was Jesus. Their eyes were covered. And so, you know, they say to him, he's like, what are you guys talking about? And they're like, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth. Like, where have you been? Have you been hidden under a rock? Like, Jesus was famous. Jesus was, his name was being proclaimed around the entire area. He was performing miracles and signs and wonders, and he was just crucified. Like, you know, there's this big feast that's going on, and they falsely accuse him. They have him beaten, they have him crucified, and, you know, now we're hearing, you know, word that he's no longer, his body's no longer in there. Like, what have you, you know, what's going on? In verse 21, they were sad. It says, we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel, right? Their expectations of who Jesus was and what he was going to do, it didn't line up. They saw on the micro level, but they didn't realize who Jesus was on the macro level, the big picture. They didn't understand that. And it said, hey, indeed, besides all this, today's the third day since it was all happening. And, you know, some of the ladies went and they didn't find his body. And they said that there was a vision of angels who said he was alive. And, you know, they just didn't get it. And then Jesus said to them, oh, foolish ones and slow of heart to believe. Right? There's this issue of belief that keeps coming up. Again, the 11 didn't believe. The women here, Jesus is talking to the two, saying, you slow of heart to believe in all the prophets that had spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things to enter into his glory? And so from here, as they're walking, Jesus is just like, he's giving them knowledge, he's giving them understanding, he's quoting scripture, he's making a case for what just happened. And so they get to a point and he's just like, well, I'm gonna take off. And he goes, no, well, it's late, you know, come and stay with us. And so Jesus goes with them. He's sitting at the table with them. He takes bread, blesses it, breaks it, and gives it to them. And in that moment, their eyes are open and they realize that it was Jesus. And in that moment, he vanishes, gone. And they look at each other and like, did our heart not burn within us while we talked with him on the road and while he opened the scripture? So as Jesus was sharing the word, he's sharing himself. He is the word. Their hearts were burning inside of them and they were listening. They were just kind of enraptured by what he was saying while they were walking on the road. And when their eyes were open, they realized this whole time that Jesus had been walking with them. And so they get up that very hour and they run back to Jerusalem. It's a 7-mile hike, you know what I mean? So they take off back, they find the 11 and they all gather together and they're saying, the Lord is risen indeed. Like, you guys won't believe this. We were walking on the road, he was with us. We didn't realize, we sat down to eat. He broke bread, gave it to us. We realized it was him and then he disappeared. As they're sharing this story, Jesus himself stood in the middle of them and he shows up. He's like, Shalom, what's up? Peace be with you. And it said that they were terrified and frightened. Didn't say that he knocked on the door or he walked in. He just appeared right in the middle. They're over there talking about Jesus. He's just like, what's up? It's your boy. Here I am. They're terrified. And he says to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Why are you guys so doubtful? And he's like, look, here's my hands and my feet. Here's where the nails had gone through my hands. He's like, feel me. I'm real. I'm here. As a matter of fact, give me some food. You guys got any food here? So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb and he took it and he ate it in their presence. And so he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses. Jesus was the fulfillment of all of those things. And he opened their understanding. I love this because it says that he opened their understanding. I've shared many times that one of the greatest prayers that you can pray is, God, give me wisdom, give me knowledge, and give me understanding. As we pray for those things, the things that we look at start to look different. So many times we might be praying, God, change my financial situation. But if God gives me wisdom or knowledge or understanding, maybe I start looking at my financial situation through a different lens. The more knowledge, wisdom, and understanding that I have, I start to look at my financial situation as maybe an opportunity to go in a different direction. Maybe I start seeing that there's no fruit in that area and I need to start handling it different. So rather than changing my circumstances, if God gives me understanding, I can now start looking at my circumstances rather as an obstacle, but as an opportunity. And that comes from praying and asking for wisdom and understanding. So here it says that he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. They might have a better understanding of the word. And now they start to see it, that it makes sense. That's one of the beautiful things about being followers of Jesus and receiving the Holy Spirit. We start to see the scriptures differently. So non-believers, people who don't believe or haven't put their faith in Jesus, when they read the Bible, they just read a book, even though it's alive, even though it's cutting. They'll go through it and many times the seeds are planted, but they don't understand. You start to see the scripture differently as a follower of Jesus and one who is a vessel for the Holy Spirit. Now the word of God is alive and it cuts and it changes and it challenges. And so in the same way that he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures, we too have that ability. And that's a part of being a follower of Jesus, is the Holy Spirit that dwells in us is now able to discern and to understand and comprehend what it is that we're reading. It's good. It's good. I love this. What's going on? We got some, we must have some stuff going on in the comments section. That's good. That's good. Oh, I'm just checking in. I'm good. Interesting. You guys got it under control. I have no idea what's going on. I'm over here just sharing the scriptures, but it sounds like there's some agitators. Gotcha. Well, let's finish up. I'm going to give you guys an opportunity to do something that you might not ever get a chance to. So Jesus is here. He says he opens their understanding to the scripture. Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. And so the ascension, it ends like this. He led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass while he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. I highlighted great joy. And were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. So this is what I want to do today. There's this great joy that he's talking about. There's this understanding, there's this wisdom, there's this knowledge. And I just want you guys to know that you are able to receive this same great joy. Now he talks about this repentance and this remission of sins. I want you guys to know that if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, that your sin separates you from God. There's an issue of sin, and we have to talk about that. And I want to give you an opportunity to repent of your sin, to put your faith in Jesus, to invite him to be the savior of your soul and the Lord of your life. Maybe you're backslid. Maybe you don't know Jesus. Maybe you're broken. Maybe you're in this place and you need healing. Maybe you need to get back on track, to get back into alignment with God and what he's doing. I want to give you guys the chance today. Don't go another day unsure of your standing with God. Don't go another day without reconnecting or rededicating. Don't go another day without having the fullness of your salvation. And so right now, I want to pray, but I want to give you that opportunity. If right now in your heart, you're here in this place, and you're in this place and you want to receive Jesus. You believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one makes heaven their home except through him. If that's you, if you believe in the virgin birth, if you believe in his death, burial, and resurrection, if you want to receive the Holy Spirit this morning, I want you to put, I want to be saved. That's what I want you in the comment section right now. I believe that there's at least one person who wants to be saved. And all that is it's not a prayer that you say, it's a decision that you make, but it's a public declaration. You're declaring publicly in the assembly of believers, and there's witnesses here saying, you know what? I want to be saved. God, I want to invite you into my life. You have set me aside. You have chosen me. I put my faith in Jesus publicly. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I understand that I'm a sinner and I cannot save myself. I understand that it separates me from you. I want to accept the free gift of salvation by putting my faith in Christ and Christ alone. You guys are not saved by works. You're not saved by being a good person. You're not saved by how many grandmas you walk across the street or kittens you save out of a tree. If that's you and you want to be saved, put that in the comment section. If you want healing in your body, I believe under an open heaven right now in the name of Jesus, as the Holy Spirit is present, He's always with us. But right now, underneath an open heaven, if you want to be healed, I want you to claim your healing today. I want to be healed in the comments section. I want to be healed. I don't know what it is, addiction, mental health. Maybe it's healing in your body. Maybe it's something that's going on. Maybe it's a hurt or bummed or broken limb. I'm claiming healing for myself. I'm claiming healing for my ankle. I'm claiming healing for my ankle. I hurt my ankle. And right now, Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, we're asking for healing. So we're gonna pray together collectively. If you want to pray over prayer requests, if you have specific prayer requests, you guys can put them in the comments section now, right now. I want you guys to ask, and so we can collectively pray together, right? There's power in prayer. So Heavenly Father, underneath an open heaven, we come before your throne only because of what your Son Jesus did. Lord, we want this joy of salvation. We want to look at life through the lens of the Lord. We want to see our circumstances and situations the same way that you do, Lord. And we believe that those are opportunities to grow, opportunities to strengthen our faith, opportunities to pray, opportunities to rely on you. These obstacles are opportunities for us to draw closer or to get nearer or to have a better understanding of who you are. So God, help us to look at them through the same lens that you do. Right now, Lord, we just ask that you would be the Savior of our soul and the Lord of our lives. God, when we invite you to be the Lord of our lives, that means we are surrendering to you. We're admitting that, God, we are sinners and we can't do this on our own. We're admitting that we need your strength. We need your power. God, we don't have the answers. Lord, you are the answers. We believe that you are the way, the truth, and the life. We need direction. You are the way. We're tired of this world's lies. God, you are the truth. We're tired of the counterfeit promises to success and peace and comfort and happiness that this world tells us that are counterfeit. Lord, you are the life. So we invite you. We beg of you. We ask you to be the Lord of our life and the Savior of our soul. God, right now we are asking for healing in your name. We're asking for healing for mental health, healing for addiction, any disease that comes against, that rises itself against these holy temples. We are temples for the Holy Spirit. We pray against any kind of sickness. We pray against any kind of addiction. We pray against any issue of mental health. We pray against these things and we claim the healing that comes only from you, Lord. And the scripture said that the hem of your garment was enough to heal the woman with the issue of blood. And so right now in the spirit, Lord, we are reaching out and we know and we ask in faith that you can heal our situation, you can change our situation. And Lord, in so doing, we pray that you would change our perspective. These are opportunities for you to receive glory. So God, take the glory that you deserve. Take the praise that you deserve. You are worthy of praise, worthy of glory, worthy of honor. Lord, I pray that you would overshadow those who have received the free gift of salvation, those who have put their faith in you today. We pray in the name of Jesus that you would protect them, that as they go from this place, the enemy is going to come and try to snatch away that word. But right now, the seeds that were planted, we pray that you would water them and cultivate them with a supernatural speed, that you would increase their level of maturity, that you would increase their level of understanding and knowledge, that you would help them tap into the understanding of spiritual warfare and how the enemy is now going to surround them and try to pull away the truth that was imparted to them today, that there's going to be resistance and opposition in the spiritual realm. Help them to prepare themselves, help them to ground themselves in the word, Help them to gird themselves with the sword of the Spirit, that they would place the breastplate of righteousness over their heart, that they would put the helmet of salvation over their mind, so that the things that try to distract and pull away at their focus would be blocked. That we resist the devil, because the scripture says as we do so, he must flee. So we stand on your truth. God, equip us. We know that you have given us everything that we need to be victorious for this day. And so we claim those things. Lord, we bind things here on earth that will also be bound in heaven. We claim victory. We claim authority. We claim boldness. We claim courage over my brothers and sisters. As we leave this place, God, there will be opposition, but help us to remind ourselves of who we are and the power that we possess. The power in us, the Holy Spirit, is greater than the power in this world. And there is no temptation known to man that isn't common, that God hasn't provided a way out for us. So we know that as temptation arises and there's these obstacles that we'll be faced with, Lord, we just pray that we wouldn't succumb to those, that we would search for the way out that you've provided, and that we would come out on the other side stronger, wiser, and better prepared for the obstacles of the future that will come our way. God, we love you, and we thank you, and we praise you, and we pray this all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. New season, new strategy, brothers and sisters. And I don't know what's going on in the comment section, but you know, I just want to share that there will always be distraction. There will always be opposition. And not everything is from the enemy. Not every, you know, I don't know what's going on. I paid zero attention to it. I just saw something there at the end. But just know that if it's not edifying, then that's what I shared to start. If it's not edifying or encouraging or uplifting, then you don't have to respond. Don't feel like you guys have to defend. We just talked about Moses. There were people who are going to condemn, disqualify, discredit. Not everybody's gonna like you. Not everybody's gonna like me. There's gonna be people who don't like me because I wear a hat when I share the word of God, or because I have earrings, or because my shirt's too baggy, or because I don't close my eyes when I pray. There's so much. There's people who will stand in opposition of the things that you do. And like I said before, is we pray for them. We pray for them and we love them. And we pray for a revelation. Or maybe they're here for a reason. We just pray for them, because I know that I'm obedient and I'm in alignment with what God's called me to do. And we pray for those who come against God's anointed ones and those who are, you know, operating in their gifting and calling. Because look at what happened to those who rose up against them. Moses didn't have to worry. Moses wasn't losing sleep over that. He was interceding like, God, please don't consume them all in fire. Don't put them all in a plague. Let's pray for them. Let's stand in the gap, you know? So anyway, I love you guys. I honor you. I pray that you have an amazing day. It looks like over 30 people or so, got saved. Glory to God. Maybe there were some rededications. It's not about that, but it's just it's a beautiful thing. And I'm thankful, so grateful. Tomorrow we're starting John chapter 1. So a great time to share this, share the podcast, share it with a friend, and see if we can't get some new people on here who need the gospel of John, and see if at the end of John we can't get some more people saved. So hope you guys have an amazing day. I love you and honor you, and I will see you guys all back here tomorrow. And yes, I'll have the window closed more because there are planes flying directly over my home, and I can hear that. So I'll see you guys later. Have a good day.